Let's pray. Father, I long for that day where every eye shall see him, Lord, and every knee will bow and proclaim him as King and as Lord. Oh, Father, I pray for us here now, Lord. I pray that you would move in our hearts, Lord. Lord, that we would see Jesus in a beautiful way, Lord, and that we would respond to him, Lord, in repentance and in faith and in love. So help us now, Lord, I pray in your name. Amen. Amen. It's very good to be with you again this morning and later today as well. So today I'll be looking at Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Around three weeks ago, I was having a very nice conversation with one of my driving students. I'm a driving instructor, so I enjoy having conversations with all of my learners. And for best part of the lesson, we discussed a whole range of subjects, from politics to football to rugby and universities and everything. And as the discussion went on, it led me to be able to talk about Jesus. And as soon as I mentioned Jesus, the conversation went flat. As soon as I mentioned his name, conversation basically stopped there. And it got me to wonder, why does a mention of Jesus affect people so much? And why is it mostly a negative response as well? So my question to you today is, what is your response toward Jesus? What's your response towards him? And it is quite apt that today is the 6th of January, because in the traditional calendar, this is where they celebrate Epiphany. This is where they celebrate the wise men coming to see the King of the Jews. They came to worship him. So I thought it was, well, fitting that we could look at this passage. And in reading this story in Matthew chapter 2, well, it shows that since the birth of Jesus, people have been affected by a mere mention of his name. Since his birth. And it's not just today when I mention to my students or when you mention Jesus to your neighbors, but for the past 2,000 years, the name of Jesus has either brought joy to people's hearts or it has brought anger. So this morning we'll just have a quick look at this story and pick out three different responses people have toward Jesus. And again, the question I'd like you to ask yourselves this morning is, how have you responded to Jesus, or how do you respond to him? And the three different responses I'll pick out from this passage here. The first one is Herod's response. In verse 13, it says that he sought to kill and destroy Jesus. There's a lot more to his response earlier on, but verse 13 basically says what was really in his heart. He wanted to kill and destroy Jesus. Now, the other response, you can see in verse 3, where it says that all Jerusalem was troubled. So it says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And the third and final response we'll look at is the wise men. And if you see in verse 2, the wise men asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. So that's the response. The wise men came to worship Jesus. So we'll look at those three responses this morning. So we'll start with Herod's response. And here's a summary of Herod's response. In verse 3, we see that he is troubled, he's disturbed by the news that there's a possible king of the Jews. And we see from verses 4 to 8, he played the interested, nice guy. He wanted to know more. He asked questions as if he really cared about this new king that was born. And then we come to verse 13, and we see what he really wanted was to kill and destroy Jesus. Why was Herod so troubled, so disturbed by the news? History tells us that King Herod, Herod the Great, was a proud king. He had a jealous and a suspicious character. If you look at his history, if he knew anyone who could have the throne in his place, he killed them. He had killed princes and princesses who had any claim to the throne, including his favorite wife, Mariam, and their two sons. He killed them too because they had a claim to his throne. So why did the news brought by the wise men disturb Herod? Because this child that had been born was a threat to his throne. The knowledge of this child, Jesus, highlighted Herod's proud, selfish, and greedy character. Herod made himself lord of his own life. He was king of the Jews. The throne belonged to him, and no one had the right to take that away from him. And I think he would say that not even God had the right to take that throne away from him. That doesn't sound good, does it? We can look at this story and clearly see the evil in this man Herod. His interest in the birth of Jesus was all a facade. His friendliness towards the wise man was covered by deceit. But we see that God knew Herod's heart and his thoughts. What Herod really wanted was to destroy this child, Jesus. So Herod had a proud, selfish, and a greedy character. Now, but before we pass our own judgment on Herod's character and his actions, let's take a look in the mirror. Are we not proud? Are we not selfish? Are we not greedy? Look at those three things: pride, selfishness, and greed. We'll begin with pride. A couple of weeks ago, I met someone, and I was asked about my life and the things I had already accomplished in my life. And as I shared about my life, my accomplishment, I felt this pride rise straight to my head. I was thinking, wow, yes, I have accomplished so much. And he showed me, well, there still is pride. There's a lot of pride in me. And despite the insignificance of my accomplishment, I felt big sharing with someone what I have done. So is there pride in your life? The Bible is clear that God hates pride. If you look at Proverbs 16, verse 5, it says that everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. So everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. God hates the proud-hearted. And we see today all over the world that pride is celebrated. We hear slogans like, live a life you are proud of. Or, I'm gay, I'm proud, and I'm proud. But remember that the well-known proverb, pride goes before the fall. So why don't people want to hear about Jesus? Because Jesus hurts our pride. He humbles us. So when we hear of him, it makes us feel very small. That's why we don't like hearing about him. Now let's move to the next one, selfishness. You will find that a lot happens during my driving lessons. A couple of months ago, I had a lesson with this girl, and I'll call her Jane today. And Jane had a very bad day. And she was very upset during the lesson. So at the end of the lesson, I decided, well, I'm going to drive you home because you're not fit to drive. So as I was driving her home, she decided to call her mom, and she was in the passenger seat. And while she was talking to her mom, Jane's mom, of course, tried to say everything that would console her and stop her from crying and being upset. And so Jane's mom thought, okay, let me share something of my own life. So she started sharing with Jane. I could hear the phone call because she was sitting right next to me. And she started sharing with Jane an experience she had in her own life. Now guess what Jane's immediate reaction was? I was shocked. She just shouted out, "Mom, I don't care about your life. This is about me." I was shocked. How could you say that to your mom? But then I was thinking, well, that's selfishness in us, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought or said, it's about me, me and me? I may not have said those words out loud, but if I examine all the motives behind my decisions in life, it really comes down to, it is all about me, me and me. Think of self-preservation, self-gratification. It is in all of us. We tend to be concerned with our own interests above the interests of others. This is what it says in the Bible, in James chapter 3, verse 16. "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." Where there is selfishness, confusion, and every evil thing is there. Selfishness is the revelation to who we really are. It's all about me, me, and me. So why do people refuse the presence of Jesus or to know anything about Him? Because there is only one place suitable for Jesus, and that is at the center of all of our lives. And if Jesus is at the center, self can't reign. It can no longer be me, me, and me. So people don't want to know about Him, don't want to speak about Him, because it means that they have to come down off their own throne. Because Jesus, He's worthy of being in the center of all of our lives. Next, greed. Caitlin, my wife, and I, we love to eat cake. Time to time, we buy a nice birthday cake, even though it's not our birthday, because we just like eating cake. And we like a nice, you know, chocolate cake from time to time. So whenever Caitlin serves the cake, I look at my piece, and then I look at what's left in the box, and I think, why is this all I got? Why only this tiny piece? Look at what's left. Then I look and I compare my piece with Caitlin's piece and I think, why does hers look bigger than mine? That is greed. Simply put, that is greed. We're never satisfied with what we have. Always wanting more. My car is not good enough. I want a better one. My house is not big enough. My pockets aren't deep enough. I need a bigger holiday. But that's all in us. That wanting more, never satisfied. Now what does the Bible say about greed? Proverbs 15:27. "He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house." And in the NIV it puts it this way, "The greedy bring ruin to their own households." Greed is the destroyer of families, of friends, communities, and our own lives. Examine yourselves. Is there even a hint of greed in you? So now, why do people reject Jesus? Because He commands us to deny ourselves. pick up our cross and follow him. We can't be greedy if we claim to know him. Friends, this was Herod's character, filled with pride, selfishness, and greed. But if I examine myself, that's in me as well. Now, we too are laden and filled with this in our hearts. Now, we may say we are not as bad as Herod was, because we didn't seek to physically kill Jesus. But if you have turned away from Jesus because he makes you feel small, if you have refused Jesus, the throne of your life, because you prefer your own way, and if you have rejected Jesus and his cross because carrying a cross means you can't have anything else, then in a sense you are crucifying him again and putting him to an open shame. I ask you again, how do you respond to Jesus? Let's go on to the next response, which we see in verse 3. All Jerusalem was troubled. I won't spend much time on this one, but I must mention it because it is so subtle and yet very deadly. So I ask, why was Jerusalem troubled? Was it because Jesus had come? Was it because the Savior was born? If we look at it properly, no. I don't think they heard the news properly. The news was, Jerusalem, your Savior has arrived. Your King is born. But no, Jerusalem was deaf to that good news. So what troubled Jerusalem? It was the mere fact that King Herod was troubled. It's understandable. If Herod thinks there's someone who could take his throne away from him, Herod will wreak havoc across Jerusalem and Judea until his potential king is destroyed. So in a way, I understand why Jerusalem was fearing for their lives. They were troubled. But they didn't listen to the good news. Jesus has come. The Savior is here. The reason this response of Jerusalem, of old Jerusalem, why this response is deadly, is because they are unknowingly shunning Jesus, their only Savior. I have spoken to many people, I've knocked on many doors, bringing the good news of Jesus. What do I find when I speak to these people? There are people who are troubled with the state of this world. People who are disturbed by the state of this nation. People who are unhappy with the state of their lives. And yet they choose to turn a deaf ear to the good news of Jesus. What has been on the news and on the radio and in the papers the past few years, past couple of years, and a lot in the last few months? All about Brexit. That's what people talk about. Disagreements everywhere. When I drive between lessons, I turn on the radio to LBC and they discuss a lot about this, and I'm starting to get really annoyed about it. Does it really matter, Brexit or not? What is the state of your soul? Are you already condemned to hell, or are you at peace with God? People argue that Brexit is important. The talk about Brexit is important because it will affect our children and their future. But if you really cared about yourself and your children, listen to the good news of Jesus. Are you so distracted by the buzzing world around you that you have turned a deaf ear to the sweet call of Jesus? If you really cared about your state and the state of our nation and the future of your children, listen. Jesus has come. Jesus has come. It's very sad when I talk to so many people. They're really unhappy. And you say, listen to this wonderful news. But they turn a deaf ear to it. So why should we listen to the good news of Jesus? Let's move on to the final response in this story. Verse 2, we see that the wise men came to worship Jesus. They came to worship this child. response of these wise men amazed me. Many scholars and historians speculate about their journey, how long it took, all the possible hardships they may have encountered traveling from the East. But what really amazes me and puts me and my own life to shame is that the wise men came with one desire. And it is clear here, they desired only to worship the King, to worship Him. They desired Him so much that when they saw His star, they were overjoyed. They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Now we are here this morning. What are we doing here? Why are we here? Just going through the motions of a Sunday morning? Who here this morning walked through those doors saying, "We have come to worship Him"? There must be something about this child Jesus. The wise men stood before King Herod. They spoke to him like he was any other person. They didn't worship King Herod in meeting him, but in meeting Jesus, it says that they fell down before him. There is something amazing about Jesus. Ever asked why the wise men traveled from the East to come and meet Jesus? Ever asked why Herod was so disturbed and troubled about the king and wanted to kill him? The last month, month of Christmas, you have probably heard many verses that tell us who Jesus is. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And we sang those words this morning, "Beautiful Savior, Wonderful Counselor." In John 1:14 it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And in Matthew 1:21, "And you shall call His name Jesus." Why? "For He will save His people from their sin." The wise men came looking for the King of the Jews. But Jesus came not just for the Jews, but to save all. The wise men, magi, probably astrologers, idolaters, but yet God showed them the star. Because God was showing He has come to save and bless the whole world through His Son, Jesus Christ. This child, Jesus, He was no ordinary king. He is God. Another verse in Isaiah says, "He shall be called Emmanuel, God with us." So friends, how should we respond to Jesus? What do people say about Jesus today? Some say He's a great teacher. He was a kind and a peaceful man. He taught that humans can love each other and put differences aside. Great. But Jesus is so much more. If this is all Jesus was, a great teacher, a moral man, etc., it certainly wouldn't bring people to worship Him. And it certainly wouldn't cause people to butcher Him on that cross. All of us here this morning have done wrong. We have wicked and rebellious hearts. The thing is, God knows it. He knows it all. Every intimate thought, every action done behind closed doors, every moral and unlawful desire, every motive and intention in your life, God knows it. We are all guilty. We need to be cleansed and changed. And it is for this reason that Jesus affects people so much. Our thoughts and our desires are put on display and we are judged. And yet for the same reason, because we are sinners, God sent His Son, Jesus. And in Jesus, God displays His love. The good news is this: that God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Through him, the King, born in a laid in a manger, the Good Shepherd that who was led like a lamb to the slaughter, the Son of God bruised by his Father on the cross. He did not come to condemn you, but to save you. How should we respond to Jesus? Confess our sins. Repent of our pride and our selfishness and our greed and turn to him. This world is in turmoil. Our lives are not as good as we would want it to be. But Jesus came to give something better. Eternal life. Peace with God and freedom from all our burdens. Because on the cross, Jesus took all the punishment we deserve upon himself. It wasn't an easy journey for the wise men, but the destination made all their hardship worthwhile. Life is not easy, but in Jesus, we have a home in heaven. But while we are on our way, we can already worship him now. Jesus died on the cross in our place. But on the third day, he rose again. He has no tomb because he is alive and reigning, and he is in heaven preparing a home for those who respond to him in worship. So I'll finish with this. How will you respond to Jesus from now on? Are you a Herod? Or maybe you are like the deaf inhabitants of Jerusalem. Or maybe you are one of the wise men who came to worship him. Amen.